Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 133. Behold, how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His spirit was troubled, and his sleep left him. When the king commanded that the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans be summoned to tell the king his dreams, so they came in and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I had a dream, and my spirit is troubled to know the dream. Then the Chaldeans said to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, The word from me is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream and its interpretation, you shall be torn limb from limb, and your houses shall be laid in ruins. But if you show the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and its interpretation. They answered a second time and said, Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know with certainty that you are going to try to gain time, because you see the word from me is firm. You do not make the dream known to me, but there is one sentence for you. You have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the times change. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can show me its interpretation. The Chaldeans answered the king and said, There is not a man on earth who can meet the king's demand, for no great and powerful king has asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or Chaldean. The thing that the king asks is difficult, and no one can show it to the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. Because of this, the king was angry and very furious and commanded all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. So the decree went out, and the wise men were about to be killed, and they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. Then Daniel replied with prudence and discretion to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He declared to Arioch, the king's captain, Why is the decree of the king so urgent? Then Arioch made the matter known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and requested the king to appoint him a time that he might show him the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and made the matter known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, and told them to seek mercy from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his companions might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men in Babylon. Then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, to whom belong wisdom and might. He changes times and seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and in the light dwells within him. To you, O God of my fathers, I will give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and might, and have not made known to me what we ask of you, for you made known to us the king's matter. Acts chapter 4. Verses 23 to 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, Why did the Gentiles rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon the threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And then when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. Good morning. This is Tim Tribble, coming to you from Sacramento, California. Today's readings come to us from Psalm 133, Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 to 23, and Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. In today's reading in the book of Acts, the actual part that we read this morning is called The Believers Pray for Boldness. But this begins earlier in chapter 4. So we have Peter and John who are out preaching the gospel. At this point, it's important to remember that they were followers of the way. They were not called Christians yet. That comes later. That was brought to us by the Roman Emperor. But they are considered a sect at that point of Judaism. So they are out preaching the gospel and healing. And they were arrested and put into custody. And then they are taken before Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander. They were all the high priestly family. And Peter gets filled with the Holy Spirit and takes them to task. This is where we get the cornerstone that was rejected by you, and how they were handed over, and how they used the Romans to crucify Jesus when there was no reason in Judaism for this to happen. And they were shocked. So they were considered uneducated men. So Peter and John were not considered what they call educated men. And by that, we're talking about the educated in the Torah and having gone through the temple training and all that type of stuff. They were just common Jews, common people. And they weren't part of that priestly family. And so with everything that Peter said, they couldn't find any, there was no evidence of anything that they really did wrong. So all they could do was tell them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. And Peter and John then answered and said, "What is right in the sight of God, to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot speak of what we have seen, we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And they threatened some more, tried finding no way to punish him, and they let him go. So when we pick up here in verse 23 today, when they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. And this is where they bring back in verse 24 through 26. This is Psalm, portions of Psalm 2, 1 and 2, Psalm 146, 6. So they bring this all out. So what does this teach us? There's a couple things here. One, they're going against the establishment. So you had this established hierarchy in Judaism at the time, just like we have now, and it's not just in Judaism. We have, depending on your denomination in Christianity, but all denominations have it, there is a set hierarchy. And I challenge any one of you to go against the hierarchy of whatever denomination is you belong to and see how far you get. This is still going on. But this is what they were dealing with at the time. This was something new. Jesus had turned Judaism on its head at that point in time. Okay, and the story of the crucifixion, in one of the accounts, there was, you know, the thunder and lightning, and the earth shook, and the big, huge, heavy curtain. You know, we think a curtain like you got in your window. No, no. This was a big, huge, heavy, very thick curtain was rent. It was torn in half. And this was God saying, we don't need this anymore. You don't need to separate the holy holies. The chief priest doesn't have to go in there anymore. Anyone can, because now it's the new covenant with the death of Jesus. So this is our challenge now as believers. Our faith has been used to control people for 2,000 plus years. I know for myself, growing up in the tradition that I was raised in with my parents, I mean, everything was about, you know, everything was about sinning and going to hell. And you don't want that, so you control. And there's things throughout history, we can look at different things in different times and places, where religious belief, and it's not just true to Christianity, okay? Religious beliefs of any flavor have been used as a form to control people, to get them to conform to whatever it is that the very small minority in charge want. Be bold in Christ. This is our time and our way that we can take things and say, this is the way it is. This is what's going on. Love your neighbor as yourself. Period. No qualifiers. No adjectives hanging in there except for but. There's no buts. We are called to love people. We are called to act as Christ did on Maundy Thursday at the end of the Last Supper, when he went around and washed the feet of his disciples as a servant. And when he said, yes, you call me Lord, you call me teacher, this is correct, but I washed your feet. You guys need to do that too. We need to be humble and care for and serve those around us who are in need, those around us who are unable, those of us who need help, that are not as well off as we are. And it's amazing what can happen to that, not only for them, but for yourself. It is, you know, they talk about getting rewards, and God will reward you. It doesn't talk about money. We're not talking about, you know, you got it. You're not doing this. Okay, God, I was nice to this person, you know, cha-ching, cha-ching. But you get that inner peace and that satisfaction of having helped a fellow human being. So be bold in Christ. Go out. Don't worry about what the hierarchy says. Do what you feel is in your heart, because when you listen to that still small voice, the Holy Spirit is there, and he will guide us and let us know what we need to be doing. Amen.
A prayer for guidance from the Book of Common Prayer. O God, by whom the meek are guided in judgment, and light rises up in darkness for the godly, grant us, in all our doubts and uncertainties, the grace to ask what you would have us do, that the Spirit of wisdom may save us from all false choices, and that in your light we may see light, and in your straight path may not stumble. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast by clicking the link in the show notes. Or, if you serve military families, subscribe to First Forward, a paid subscription feed providing commentary on Sunday lectionary texts a week in advance. Use it for sermon prep or just because you support the troops. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instruction will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with PewPewHQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off of air. So there you have it. Three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I haven't convinced you to fall in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.